once again to Dual World in episode 99. We're just one off from a. I'm really not sure what we're going to do, but we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But this week we have a lot of news and games to talk about, so let's kick it off. Joining me this week, we have the Jason, home of the Super Bowl champion, 49ers.
Is that starting already? Okay.
It started. I swore I started it during the week.
You're right, Bruce.
Hey, it's not mine.
We're talking about next year's Super Bowl, so, you know, just beginning the celebrations early.
If we get it, good for you. Hopefully this time it's not in the dark. We have Daniel.
Hello.
And we have Chad.
Have you ever drunk Bailey's from a shoe?
Doesn't sound too great.
No, I've never actually drank. I've never drank Bailey's straight.
Tastes like chocolate.
Stuff I can't drink straight, Billy's, and I can't drink Jägermeister straight.
Oh, that's the only way I drank Jägermeister. That's the only way I can drink Jägermeister after that time it killed me.
The only way I drink it is in Jäger bombs.
See, that's what killed me.
I've tried it. I've tried it because I enjoy Jäger bombs. It's way too sweet for me to drink on its own. So I can't do that. But yeah, we're not talking about how to get drunk on this show. At least not
we
right
always
now.
Do that. For some reason, we always open up with like liquor talk.
I wonder nerds if on the rocks.
Yeah, I always wonder that if it's true. Because somebody's usually hungover on this show. But yes, but they do actually need more video game themed drinks. I've already had a couple of them. I've had a Princess Peach, which oddly enough was not pink. I was disappointed in that. And I don't actually think it had in it.
Yeah, but we always have theme drinks at our podcasts. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's weird because going on this tangent, that shit would be going on. I've been to two or three video game themed bars, Barcade in Brooklyn and Emporium in Chicago, and they don't have video game themed drinks. They just have beers on tap and normal mixed drinks. They have arcade units, which is awesome, but I think they're missing a gold mine without having some type of video game themed beverages. But yes, neither here nor there. We have games to talk about. That's lots of news as well. And we're once again most likely going to break our vow on talking about rumors because this one always seems to pop up and it's getting traction this week. But before we get there, what have you folks been saying?
Nothing.
Exciting.
Yeah, loads of things.
I've been playing Dishonored and I think I'm about ready to give up.
That game would take 5 hours.
I don't know. I guess it's longer than that if you're trying to do the stealthy route, which the game strongly encourages, but at the same time makes me very anxious, and I don't enjoy playing it that much. I really can appreciate the breadth of its design, and like, there's just a ridiculous amount of like player choice and like all these branching paths through all the levels and different ways you can approach things, but I don't know. It's just not my cup of tea.
So, I mean, like, what is it about the stuff that isn't resonating with you?
There's a lot of, like, if you're trying to do stealth, it's just, like, there's a lot of, oh, you fucked up, you need to just go reload your last save now, which is really annoying.
Isn't that how most stealth games are, though?
I'm not a big fan of most stealth games in general.
Oh, right.
So, I mean, that's part of it, but... And then if you try to play it like more action-y, like, I don't know, I feel like it's not really conducive to that. Like early in the game, I would just get frustrated and try to kill through people, but then I would eventually just get slaughtered because you take a lot of damage and there's very little like health around. So I don't know. And I mean, I'm not knocking it. It's a really good game. It's just, I think I'm done. I think I've reached the point. I'm about a little over halfway through. And I don't feel compelled to finish it.
What if, would you just switch to an all-out action to finish the game?
No, because, I mean, you can't really, like, there's too many guards, and there's not enough health, and I don't know.
So, see, that's the thing that I find, is, like, people go, oh, you can play this game any way you want. Well, not really, because you can't Deus Ex, actually.
Yeah.
You know?
And I had to say, actually, it's funny you mentioned Deus Ex. I had the exact same problem with Human Revolution, where I felt like the game was encouraging me to play stealth, but since I don't like stealth, eventually I would get tired of it.
Yeah.
And then I would just try to switch to action, and it just doesn't work. Like, it's, you can't play all-out action in either of these games. Unless you're, I don't know, maybe if you're, like, savant with the mechanics. But it doesn't feel built that way. And it's not as exciting to just play it all-out action. Like, when it is clicking on a stealth, and you're, like, in Dishonored, when you're, like, moving through all the different, like, walkways and using all your powers and, like, sneaking up on the guards, and, like, it is thrilling, but it's, like, most of the time, I don't know, I just feel anxious.
You keep on saying, what does anxious mean in this situation?
Like, I feel like I'm not having fun or enjoying, like, I feel tense. Like, I'm like, oh, I gotta, I don't know, like, I'm like, I can't get discovered
that
because
kind
then
of a
all
good
the guards
in a
are going to
game, though?
I guess.
Yeah, aren't you supposed to feel anxious?
But it's the same. That's just, for me personally, that's just not what I like. Like, fun. It's the same thing with horror games. Like, being scared is not enjoyable to me, so I don't want to play them.
Fair enough.
But, I mean, being scared isn't supposed to be enjoyable to you, and that's the point. The emotion is that, you know, stealth is the same way. Stealth creates this type of, you know, should I push forward? Will I get caught? If I get caught, do I have the resources to take out these guys, or am I going to be overwhelmed? And
right,
stuff
I mean,
like that.
And that's why I say, like, I get the appeal, and I get why people like it, and it's, and just looking at it from, like, looking at the mechanics and structure, like, it is really well designed. It's just not for me.
Okay. Fair enough.
I tried, but oh well.
That's all you can do. A for effort. I don't think that's what it starts with. Anyhow, Chad, have you been anything new? Did we lose Chad?
Maybe he muted his mic again.
What? What did you say?
I said, have you been playing anything new?
Oh, I was in another world or something. I don't know. I'm flighty lately, dude. I don't even know. Have I been playing anything? I played a lot of Dota 2 last night, actually. That game is slowly growing on me. I still like LoL better, because I still know what I'm doing in LoL better. But Dota 2 is definitely growing on me more and more as I get used to the champions. So that's cool.
One thing I noticed about Dota 2 was when Dota 2 kind of went public, Riot took a serious look at their game. And I'm wondering, you know, when they changed the... You may have joined LoL after they did this, but you know when they changed the shop?
Yeah.
And when they changed, when they did the graphics overhaul on the map, I'm kind of doubting if they would have done that if Dota 2 hadn't come around and said, look, Valve have put a lot of money into me, you know?
See, that's one thing I don't like about Dota 2 is that the map itself is so... There's too much shit going on. It's too busy. I prefer the simpler art style.
I can really get with you on that, and the fact that in Dota 2, if you're a ranged character and you're trying to shoot up, like, because the map actually has elevation to it, so you know the stairs that lead into the base. If you're ranged and you try and shoot across them, you can miss because of the stairs, and that really annoys me. I think that Dota. I mean, I know they're carrying a lot of mechanics over from the original Dota. But I just think that in some cases, it just adds complexity when it doesn't need to. It's complex enough as it is.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely taking some getting used to, but I don't dislike it as I did before. So that's cool. And I think that's basically the only thing I've really been... I mean, I've been playing other stuff, but not anything I haven't talked about already.
Fair enough, then. Fair enough. As for me, I continue the wars. I mentioned that last week. Not much has changed.
Still?
I still enjoy it, but it doesn't really change it for me too much. Huh? It's a great time waste. I go on, I pay for like half an hour, I get my happy stars, and you know, it's a very simple beat 'em up type game. And I also started Final Fantasy 13 last night.
Oh,
Jesus!
For the first time.
About it.
Well, before the third one comes out.
For the first time. And you know like how you always hear people say stuff, you always kind of think it's being exaggerated ad nauseum. Like, literally, when people said that Final Fantasy 13 was in a year,
yeah.
I just kind of thought that they meant in a traditional sense. I didn't...
No, it's corridors.
It's literally a hallway.
It's the Call of Duty of RPGs. No, it's not even that. It's the Doom of RPGs.
That's kind of insulting Call of Duty's level design.
Oh, don't even play that card.
Yeah, even Call of Duty has a cope. Call of Duty's in a year and that you have to follow up. But this literally horns you down.
And for the record, in Black Ops 2, there is a level where you're given a wide open field and it says, go and shoot people.
Like, you usually get staircases you can go up and maybe find like an orb that gives you gil, whatever. But other than it's pretty much a straight line. And I'm always. but yeah, I was trying to say that, my party's just kind of. I think at the start, Japan's three different groups, I guess. And like, it seems like a lot of stuff hasn't been introduced properly yet, or stuff that I'm kind of used to in an RPG isn't there. Like, there doesn't really seem to be much of an armor or equipment system. There doesn't seem to be any experience system yet.
There is.
And I really don't get the purpose of having the enemies on.
Enemies.
You don't know why the enemies stop talking in the middle of their sentence.
No, I don't get like they have the preemptive strike, but it's just an odd system.
Well, that is the point. RPGs have, like, that's you answered your own question.
Yeah, but I'm used to enemies.
Well, and you can avoid them too.
Yeah.
So far, as I say, there haven't been many enemies that I can actually avoid because everybody's kind of on your path.
There will be.
Okay, so yeah, like I said, some of this stuff just seems like it doesn't open up. I guess with I'm accustomed to RPGs, they have the enemies on the map. It usually means you can interact with them and kind of get the jump on them. I guess the preemptive strike does that.
That's what preemptive strike is. Yeah.
Well, I'm talking about, as far as I know, it's more for the stagger system where it's easier for you to stagger your enemies, where like other ones you can use, Xenoblade, which you can usually poison enemies or, topple them before the battle begins so that you have that distinct advantage. Here it's just like, you go through this weird animation and you can topple them. I mean, you get, their stagger meter, I guess, if you want to call it that, is much higher. So it usually takes one or two hits to get the jump on them or something like that. But
so basically you're mad because it doesn't give you as broken of an advantage as other games do.
Pretty much. I mean, that's the entire point of, having to see your enemies, being able to pan around that. And the other thing is, it doesn't seem like placement matters when battle starts because everybody just kind of takes their sides. And the battle system so far doesn't seem that engaging. I'm just kind of picking auto battle and they, do stuff. Like, I get that traditional turn-based games, but it seems like it should be more controlled by me.
You're just really, really early still. Like, they slowly dole out all the intricacies of all the mechanics, especially in the battle system, over a long period of time.
Very slow.
Once you unlock all the aspects of the battle system, you'll find it's actually, like, really fast and dynamic and quite fun.
Yeah, and I found it good that they were slow. Like, early, I mean, it felt kind of neutered, but it gets really complicated, so you learn.
It would be
it
overwhelming.
It teaches you. Yeah, it would be really overwhelming to do it all at once.
But that said, they do go about it entirely too slowly. Like, it's good that they do it slowly, but they could speed it along a little bit, I feel.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. Especially in the first couple hours.
Yeah, I will say this much though, Square has production values down. I mean, it's a very gorgeous looking game and has fantastic music. So good.
But none of it's memorable though. That's the problem I had with the music is in Final Fantasy you can usually pick out a couple of tracks that you really liked and you go, oh yeah, I like these ones as well. Whereas how many tracks do you remember from Final Fantasy 13? There's that one that had Leona Lewis in it and the battle music.
I'm curious, Earl, what prompted you to start this game for once, finally?
Honestly speaking, it's because I haven't played a console game, like an actual retail title, since Halo 4 last November. And I've had this problem with my friend since sometime last year. Like, I might as well play it or return it to him. So I just decided to throw it on. It was either that or Blitzstorm, and I was just too lazy to open Blitzstorm. I've heard so much mixed things about this, especially from fans, that I wanted to see, like, maybe if you're not a Final Fantasy fan, if it would kind of cater to you. I plan on sticking to it for a little bit. I mean, like, right now, it's not terrible. Like, you know, people, it's not engaging that much right now. And
that's the problem with Final Fantasy 13, though, is it's not a terrible game by any means. It just could be a lot better.
Yeah, for me, I just got bored with the enemy design and I love the battle system and I mean there were annoying characters but I liked the characters and the overall plot. It just took forever.
I don't know what the overall plot is yet so far. All I know is that there's this thing that turns people into crystal, and I defeated the giant monster. And now my people are falling down some imaginary hole or something like that. I don't know. It also kills off characters I don't even know about. It killed off the mom in like one scene, and then it killed off his fiance and that girl's sister or whatever.
Spoilers!
For the first 3 hours of a 3-year-old game.
I'm just kidding. I'm
trolling. this has always been my big issues with RPGs, is that it takes some time to get into you. And it's, you know, like, the ones I enjoy are the ones that kind of put you out there as quick as possible, which is why Xenoblade works for me. And the story, because the story is like 25 hours, so in 3 hours you go through it out of the game. Skies of Arcadia is the same thing, because you kind of start off in the middle of a raid, and then it kind of introduces mechanics after that. This is kind of like, yeah, we're going to throw you, like, I think they introduced, what, like 10 characters, 5 of them you get to play as. They have some type of history that we don't really know about. And as you folks say, it's really so you're introducing the battle mechanics. And so far, I think 4 enemy types. So I will stick with it and see how it goes, at least until I find another game I want.
You should definitely stick with it until the battle system is completely opened up anyway. And then kind of make your judgment from there, I would say.
Yeah, I kind of anticipate that, because I remember I played the Final Fantasy XIII 2 demo and I enjoyed the battle system in that. So I assume that this eventually opens up to become like that. At least I hope so.
Yeah, I'd have to assume as much. I haven't played the 13-2 demo.
Okay. So yeah, that's Final Fantasy 13. Which brings us to the news of the week. I hate rumors. I hate talking about them because half the time they end up being false or just made up for hits. But we're going to kick it off this week with the one that everybody's been talking about all week, is the rumors that came out of, I believe it was Edge, that the next Xbox console will not play use game and have a always online DMR system. What are your thoughts on this?
How many times have we heard that it won't play use games? There's not a feasible way, really, unless it goes all digital.
That's Microsoft's way of shooting themselves in the dick if they do this, straight up. And they know that, so they won't.
I have three thoughts. Go ahead.
Go on.
I have three thoughts on this. The first is that this has been an on and off rumor for both consoles forever, so I don't care to hear about it anymore until we actually hear it from themselves, from Sony or Microsoft themselves. The second thing is, it doesn't make any sense unless you're going to go all digital, like Daniel said. And the third thing is, and Earl, you and I were talking about this earlier this week, is that it's trying to solve the wrong problem. which is like a whole, yes. Like, it's used games are not a problem, and it, trying to cut them out is gonna first is it's not gonna make them much money at all, and it's gonna cut out all these other benefits, like people getting to try your games, friends getting to share games between them, you know, stuff that builds up like to an ad. It's like free marketing pretty much. So I don't know, it's there's a lot of problems with this. If it's true.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, it sounds terrific. That's, I mean, on paper, that's what it sounds like. But as you folks mentioned, the fact that these rumors keep on popping up has to mean that there's been, I mean, even if it doesn't end up, it means that there was some consideration to a system like this from Sony Microsoft. And the reason, I mean, I'm not necessarily saying this is true because, as you said, it would all be financial suicide, especially on the retail side. But the reason I think there's some validity to this is because it doesn't make any sense to us, but a lot of third-party publishers have felt that used games are a big threat this generation, which is why we saw the emergence of online passes and stuff like that. And I can see them wanting a system-wide system for this from Microsoft and Sony and pressuring them to do that.
Because if this stuff does exist, right, and there is a way of not having used games on the system, I hope they do what Steam does and they sort of balance that out with, you know, actual good sales, because I've not seen a good sale on a console like ever. You know, whereas on Steam it's like, oh, I paid this much for a game, I don't really care if I don't really like it, you know?
You see, and that sounds good on paper again, but it doesn't seem like the reality is that these people want to help the consumers. It's like losing money. I mean, a lot of companies have lost money this generation. And they're seeing their money elsewhere in the sector. They're seeing it in used games. I mean, GameStop is a multi-billion-dollar company every year. So I understand it from that point of view. Like, you see $2 billion going to GameStop, you assume that half of it actually come to us. But, you know, it's the idea that that somehow balances that if you take away GameStop's $2 billion, that goes right into new game sales, doesn't really make sense. It could just mean that less people buy your game overall.
Yeah.
Because, like Jason mentioned, there's a lot of great benefits to used games. Like I mentioned, Final Fantasy 13, I'm borrowing from a friend. I wouldn't have bought that game nor used on my own.
I think the borrowing is a lot more key than the used, too. Because, I mean, that how are you going to take that away?
Well,
like, let people share games, rentals, like, that's crazy. And like in college, I do that all the time, where I would get a game, and my friend would get a game, and then we would swap, and that's more affordable.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, again, it's, you know, it's something that you do in college. It's something I do as an adult, because you just don't have that time, or you don't want to take that risk with a game. And what happens with a used game, borrowing games, renting games, is sometimes you build up audiences, like, I bought Uncharted 1 new on PS3 when I got it. I bought Uncharted 2 and 3 new. That's because I enjoyed the first one, so I supported the next two because it was a fantastic game. Same, I bought Assassin's Creed 1 new. I got Assassin's Creed 2 new. Don't care for the series, but I bought 2 anyhow.
That was the best one.
Assassin's Creed, at least to me, has the same issue, is that it takes forever to get going. I think I was like 8 hours, maybe 4 or 5 hours in, and I was just getting out of the city for the first time. And from what I understand, that doesn't, you know, like, there's still stuff to be introduced and characters and all this other stuff, so who knows. I will say I would go back to it one day, but that's just not going to happen. So yeah, and I mean, it's not like we haven't, you know, I had this conversation with Jason this week, and I've been having this conversation with a lot of people this week, because it seems like the main thing this generation has been trying to answer is, how do we get people to keep our games? How do we get people to continue playing our games? And it seems like that's the question everybody's trying to answer, and nobody's really found a suitable answer yet. So they just say,
it's like when we were talking about it, it's like, that's because they're trying to get people to answer that question in the context of, how do we get people to pay $60 for our game?
That's the problem, is when you look at what's happening on PC, when you're looking at what's happening on PC, you've got indie developers that are saying, okay, well, we release our game for $25, right? It's a very good game, by the way. And, you know, maybe sometime down the line, we'll here's some mod tools, you know, here's Steam Workshop integration. There's all that fun, all that cool stuff that people have made, and now you can go back and play the game with something different this time. And I think, obviously, you can't do that on a console because the whole idea of it is it being a very closed environment. But, you know, you don't have to charge $60 for every game. You don't have to meet certain sale targets for every game, like EA saying that we need to make 300 million to get a Dead Space 4. You know, why? I mean, yes, okay, you need to make a profit. I get that. But you don't need to make an insane amount of money, like 300 million, to make a Dead Space 4, you know? And it just annoys me how, like, and it seems like people talk about how video game budgets are going up and up and up. And yes, that is true. But what people like EA aren't doing is keeping the budget under control and not spending money when they don't have to. So
yeah, and I think everyone looks at the games like Call of Duty and they're like, oh, well, we want that insane record-breaking hit. And it's like, well, if you look at other, I mean, in any industry, like, not every movie can be Avengers, you know, not every album can be, I don't know, what's Taylor Swift or whatever. Like, in terms of the $60 is a lot of money, and that's what it comes down to. The reason why people buy used and why people share games is because most people can't afford to buy all the games they want when they're $60. And the only way you're going to solve that is to make games cheaper. And if that means that probably means not spending as much to make them, which probably means making them shorter also, which, fine, we'll have more games that are shorter. And guess what? A lot of gamers are adults that don't have time to invest into these $60 games. So if you tell them, oh, but there's 100 hours of multiplayer, or oh, but our campaign is 80 hours long, that's not, I don't know, like, I only have so much time. I want to play as many games as I can. That's not a value proposition to me. And a lot of times it's filler anyway. And I think that's why, I mean, obviously there's a quality gap, but that's why things like iOS games have such a big appeal, because they are shorter and cheaper, and you can just, you're like, oh, well, $1 or $5 or whatever, or even, you know, or the Steam sales. Why does Steam sell so many games? Like, I have half of my Steam library is games I haven't even played yet, but it's because it's the value so there, like, it's so cheap, it's so easy to buy. I've never bought anything for $60 from Steam ever.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned Steam, because there's a service on which you can't trade in games or share them. So that's...
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But it's all digital also.
Steam's all digital, and it sort of kind of supplements the fact that you can't trade in games by having these stupid sales sometimes. And it's a case of, oh, I only paid $5 for this game. I don't really care if I can't trade it in.
Yeah, that's true too.
I paid £8 for both Alan Wake games. I don't care if I don't like it at that price.
Yeah, that is a good point. Because you're not making this massive investment, you know? Like, $60 is a massive investment. Like, I could eat for a week with that, you know? Like, it's...
And Steam is also supporting the whole, you know, here's your mod tools and here's your integration with Steam Workshop, so you can just download mods and go back to the game and play it, well, I don't know, with Hello Kitty models everywhere if you so want to, you know. Steam's doing a lot to solve the whole, how do we keep people playing our game, how do we get over the whole no use games thing, you know. And it just seems like, obviously, this isn't, I suppose this isn't entirely expected, but if Microsoft and Sony implement a sort of anti-use game system, I doubt they would have similar features, because they don't care. They just don't want people to buy used games.
What would be really interesting to me is if one of them does take the anti-used game stance and then the other one doesn't, and just see how that plays out.
And I know what's going to happen with this whole always-on DRM thing. It's going to happen what happens every other system of its type, which is, you know, there's going to be times, it will be Christmas, it will be day one, it will be, you know,
a hack,
you know, where, or in the case of Ubisoft, when you need to move your servers over to somewhere, where it's going to go down and people aren't going to be able to do anything. You know, if you want my internet connection to be on all the time, you need to have yours on all the time, and they can't do that. Nobody's been able to do that.
Well, plus, I mean, internet connections aren't great, especially everywhere in the world. I mean, even during this very podcast, we've had plenty of technical troubles with Earl's internet connection. Like,
yeah.
What if he's playing a game? Like, what's he going to do? It's like, he just can't? Like, that's absurd.
And I think the other thing that a lot of people miss out on is the retail scene in this. Not necessarily that GameStop is this noble company that we need to keep safe, but GameStop has yes reasons to promote your hardware and your software when they don't get money from it because they can't sell it back. So you're going to end up with I think they just straight up stop.
Like, they would just guess what? We're not carrying your shit anymore.
That would be financial suicide for them.
Yeah, they will carry it, but they won't, like, they'll carry it, but they won't push it. Like, if you go to GameStop, they usually, do you want to pre-order this great new game? Do you want to pre-order this? Like, a lot of companies team up with GameStop for pre-order bonuses and stuff like that. And I could see them not doing that if a hardware manufacturer is like, no more used games, because part of selling that is like, oh, you come trade in your games, you can get, you know, like, you get 50% off of Call of Duty Black Ops 2 if you trade in two games or something like that. And they don't run those promotions anymore. So I could see them, like, it's going to be like, if Microsoft does this, the next Xbox is going to be in the back corner somewhere. And like, yeah, we have games for it, but we're not going to promote it or anything. So yeah, it's, you know, all around, it's going to be a crummy situation if this happens. Yeah. The odd thing is,
I think it does so much more damage than good it could possibly do.
But here's the sad thing is, I think Daniel mentioned this, because if one does it and one doesn't, the one that does it is going to end up getting more third-party support. Because I think a lot of third parties are on board with this idea, especially the bigger ones.
That would be an interesting situation, because what happens if, say, Microsoft implements it and Sony doesn't? What happens if people don't buy Xboxes and they buy PS4s instead?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You could say publishers, but I think the consumers are going to go the other way.
Oh, I think consumers
At the end of the day, the publishers are going to go where the consumers are. Like, look at the Wii U.
Well, yeah, that's, you know, Nintendo's a different ball game altogether when it comes to third parties.
Right, but I mean, just look at even a company that supports them really strongly, like Ubisoft. At the end of the day, you know, they're going to go where their customers are.
And they've thrown in the towel already.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great segue to Rayman Legends Wii U, which was delayed this past week for Wii U and for 7 months to coincide with the multi-platform release of the 360 and PS3 version.
And I'm not even a Wii U owner, and I think that's bullshit.
Oh, I think it's BS, and I also think it's a terrible business decision. But
well, I disagree on the business decision. I think it sucks, and it's a slap in the face to Wii U players and the developers. I heard a developer complaining about it this week, but I mean, it makes so much sense from a business perspective. Like,
it doesn't though.
I mean, there's negative press now, but. What are you going to do? You're going to try to sell to a limited Wii U base, or are you going to try to sell to a larger Wii U base later, plus 150 million other consoles that own?
I'm not saying the negative press or anything. I'm just saying that they've tried this before, and Rayman Origins did 50,000 in its opening month. They're running right back into the same situation where they're releasing against GTA 5. They're releasing against...
Right, I think that's a separate issue.
That's what I mean from a business standpoint. It's a terrible decision because they're throwing it into the middle of another packed year where it's going to fall off the wayside. And
if it wasn't like the same time as GTA, like what if it was late August? You wouldn't.
That's what I was gonna say. If they pushed it back, it should have been in the summer. Pushing it back to September, they're gonna get steamrolled. Like, it's a big deal now because it's a major knock against the Wii U. In 7 months, who's going to care?
But don't you think they would still sell more across three consoles
with larger bases
than Wii U? They've tried that already.
Not to mention, it's just because they can release... There's nothing saying that they can't release the Wii U version now and release the other ones later. I'm not saying that they shouldn't port it to other consoles. That's entirely their decision. But they could just release the Wii U version when it was supposed to be released because it's done.
I mean, that would be nice, but at the end of the day, like, they're going to burn out their hype. And then the ports are going to come out, and people are going to be like, who cares? It's a port. I mean, that's just the nature of our culture.
That's what's going. I can understand if this was a huge title on the 360 and the PS3. If the PS3 to 360 to Wii combined would have been 170 million units at that point, and you sell 50,000, you open in a month. I don't see how this situation is going to improve it. It's not like there's this huge audience for Rayman on the 360 PS3 that, you know, I understand that it's on it to a Wii U audience that's much larger than it is now. And Nintendo's at fault for this as well. But the fact of the matter is, if you were an oasis in the desert of no releases this time of the year, there's nothing else on Wii U until March. Come
on
September,
the Wii U.
You're going to start. Yeah. That's what I said. Come September, you're going to start seeing stuff on Nintendo's system from Nintendo. You're going to compete with not just
GTA. We don't know that.
Nintendo said that Mario Kart is going to be playable at E3 this year, which means
That doesn't mean it's coming out in September.
It probably is going to come out in September.
It doesn't mean it's coming out in September, but at that point, are you going to be like, oh man, Rayman's coming out. Oh, Mario Kart. I mean, honestly, one's a 30 million selling franchise. The other one cracked 1 million barely. And you're going to have Wind Waker HD coming out. You're going to have Wonderful 101, Pikmin 3. After a while, there's a bunch of games that's going to be higher priority than Rayman.
I just love, like, Ubisoft's sort of stance on this. They're like, oh, well, it would be unfair to release on one platform and then on others later.
Yeah,
unless it's PC,
call it
unfair, they do it all the time. They promise they're not going to do it on PC, and they do it anyway.
Yeah. No, to call it unfair is bullshit. Like, just call it what it is. Like, it's a strategic business
move.
It's a business move, and
from a business standpoint, they have every right to do it. Just don't try to, you know, sugarcoat it. Like this whole, oh, you get an exclusive demo. Like, we already have an exclusive demo that came out last month and the game was out in 2 weeks. And I think that's the other thing. The EA is so close to these that the game was out, this would do out in 2 weeks and it's pretty much done. And they decide to, you know, whatever, we'll hold it for 7 months. I think, you know, again, it's their prerogative. I expected this game to go multi-platform at some point.
But to get it to go multi-platform before it comes out and then have the original release date being pushed back is a slap in the face.
Yeah, especially to the developers, as we heard that one developer complain this week. Like, they've been pulling overtime nonstop for months because they had to get all these demos out, and then they were trying to hit... They already delayed it once from the launch window, and now they were trying to hit the street date, and then at the 11th hour, like, it was supposed to come out next week, right? All of a sudden, it's, oh, yeah, we're just pushing it back. 6 months or whatever, like, all that hard work you guys put in, like, you didn't really have to do that.
Yeah, and, you know,
and their consolation is, oh, Wii U gamers will get another demo. It's like, oh, so you're gonna, you know, fire up the slave lines.
Basically, give Wii U owners something that they've already got.
Twice,
yeah.
It was the only Wii U demo at stores for some time before launch, so Nintendo has been, you know, running this game heavily. And, you know, again, and going back to this for the Wii U, it creates a huge vacuum because it means that there's pretty much 2.5 months. No, I guess 2 months because there are retail titles at the start of March without any major retail titles. Like, the next couple of releases are ports.
But that is Nintendo's concern, not Ubisoft.
Yeah, but, I mean, I think Nintendo had it that, oh, okay, we have Rayman in February now, so we'll kind of have something there. But, you know, and again, you know,
but
part of it is
they would have. You would think that they would get wind of this before the press did. Like, it's not.
Well, it seems like it was a decision that was made like within the past month or so. It's not like something that
Nintendo should have probably. I don't know if they have the financial capability of this, but maybe they should have taken a page from the Microsoft playbook of just buying your time exclusive.
Like, I don't think Rayman's worth it.
Yeah, it's
as you said, what else do they have?
Nobody would buy a Wii U for Rayman.
I mean, from that point of view, yes, it's something they needed to have, but it's not worth it to pay Ubisoft to make it exclusive or timed exclusive especially from Nintendo's point of view, it's catering to an audience they pretty much handle well. I mean, platformers have always done better on Nintendo systems. So it's not, you know, like, they have Mario, so it's not like Rayman's going to draw any audience. Yeah. Anything else you want to say?
It's bullshit, and Ubisoft know it, and they don't care.
Yeah, I will say
business.
This much.
I'm not offended by their decision or anything. I just think they're stupid for doing it.
Oh, I think it's a bad decision. I think, especially being the way that, I was going to say, half of what the way fans reacted is bad for Ubisoft. The other half, I think, is just really overreacting, which we see a lot in the game industry. And there's a petition for Ubisoft to...
What? You never see that.
Yeah, that stuff is stupid. I think the stuff on Miiverse is funny.
This kind of reminds me of when Mega Man Legends 3 got cancelled.
Because of fan support, and that's the thing I hate about this industry at times, is when they blame the audience for what the decisions. They call a spade. You didn't think there was money in Mega Man Legends 3. Don't say there was no fan support. It's the same thing with Time Spinners 4, where they keep on holding it over everybody's head. Heck yeah, if we get 100 million people to find this, we'll think about making it. So yeah, Wii U news, because this is a great week for Nintendo. It came out this week that Monster Hunter Tri Ultimate Edition not on PK, which I think is an odd decision. I've never heard of that thing before.
Well, MMOs do at the time.
I thought MMOs allowed you to pick your servers. You can pick.
Let's take WoW or StarCraft 2. You buy a copy of StarCraft 2 and it's only on EU. So if you want to play on the US, you have to buy another copy.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
So, you know, I mean, it's not anything that's new, but it's still stupid. I don't see why. I mean, a game like Monster Hunter is probably going to have maybe some pre-built, like, text chat thing anyway that's limited. So I don't understand why they've done this, and surely that's more expensive to do, unless there's a dedicated server sort of setup going on. I'm not sure. But it's very curious. Just like, let me play with people in different regions if I want to.
Yeah, I don't know. I can only think maybe it's something with their infrastructure, but it is strange. We couldn't play with you, Daniel.
Oh. So we've also had, what is it, Warren Spector and David Cage at DICE saying some very controversial things.
Can I just say, I love that Warren Spector is talking about people gaming needing to grow up and his ass to games for Mickey Mouse titles.
Yeah, and here's what I don't understand the most is Warren Spector and David Cage are two people that are probably after the whole games recognized as art thing, right? And yet what they've done is basically say, you can't make this, you can't make that. When has anybody been able to do that, you know, in an art form? You know, Warren Spector doesn't think that Lollipop Chainsaw should have been made. You know? I mean...
And I think a lot of people would say Epic Mickey 2 shouldn't have been made.
Well, this is it. It's like, I mean, it's a case of if you don't... Don't criticize other people's games if they're better than yours. And I don't know about the quality of Epic Mickey 2, but I actually kind of like Lollipop Chainsaw, and some of the humor in Lollipop Chainsaw is actually quite clever, despite some of the humor in it also being not clever at all. And I just don't think that I just think they can't see past. They can't look at what they've done and go, oh, maybe that's not. Maybe that's kind of contradictory to what I'm saying. And, you know, David Cage wants gaming to mature. The thing is mature things don't often get bought, so people don't often make them. It's as simple as that, you know?
Yeah, I think the way they've expressed their feelings is not really, like, there is not, I don't know, like, it wasn't the way to frame what they were trying to say, which is, I think, they're both just feeling like a kind of frustration that, you know, there's not more of the mature, quote unquote, to use like David Cage's term, like games that are striving to be more, like they're yearning for more of those kind of games, and there's so many more games that are just like,
here's what David Cage doesn't understand is there are a lot of mature games out there, just a lot of them are PC only because that's where the audience is. You know, games like StarCraft's a very mature kind of game, Dota 2's a very mature kind of game, despite the way that the community may act sometimes.
I think my problem is with the uses of the term, because what they mean is they don't want more mature titles, because I think mature is such a vague term. I think they just want games that deal with more real world issues, and I kind of agree with that to a degree.
Yeah,
the way they express it is like everything's juvenile and stupid, and I don't necessarily see it that way. Like, there is a sense of immaturity with a lot of titles. But that can, I mean, it's the same thing with any medium. Like, the things that sell the most, like music,
and not only that, is we had this when Cliffy B was talking about Saints Row, right? It's a lot of the time what makes them good is they're designed to be immature and silly. You know, I like to think that if Quentin Tarantino was to make a video game, it'd be somewhat like Gears of War. Because it knows it's got these big beefy guys, and you know it knows it's about blood and guts and killing things and blowing stuff up, you know, and it's fine with that. And it may try to be emotional in Gears of War 3, but you know it still embraces the fact that it's about blowing stuff up and being really gory. And you know, when you shoot somebody in the face with a shotgun, their body explodes into massive bits, you know, and.
Yeah.
You know, that's why people like these kind of games, because they're supposed to be like that, you know? And, yeah, I mean, David Cage has tried to make somewhat sort of more mature games. I mean, they haven't really tried to deal with real-world issues, really.
They've kind of dealt with it. I mean, Heavy Rain, you know, dealt with, you know, serial killers, you know, children, divorce, and stuff like that. The problem is, and this is my issue with David Cage, it's one, you also have to make them good.
David Cage seems to have a sort of contempt for the game industry, because he also wants them to be more like movies.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like...
You can't criticize a medium that you're against pretty much anyway.
Well, you can criticize it, except, again... Like, if you're criticizing it for not doing this and not doing that, you should be damn sure that you are doing it and you're doing it well. Like, I've played Heavy Rain, and we've mentioned this before. Heavy Rain fails on a lot of aspects as he wants. It has terrible voice acting, the plot's paper thin, and the characters never really evolve. But and at the core, it's a terrible game. Like, there's no real gameplay there. And if you want to push it in a different direction, you better be good at it. Like we mentioned The Walking Dead. The Walking Dead does a good job of weaving a narrative. It's not a great game, but it does a terrific job of weaving.
And The Walking Dead is done in such a way where people don't really care that it's not that great a game, because it's just that good in how it's written.
It's delivering everything else. Everything else is pulling it through. And it's the mechanics aren't bad. They're just, you know, fairly basic.
And the thing is
no,
the
they're bad
dead,
at times.
Well, when you compare The Walking Dead to Heavy Rain, there's an important thing.
No inverted Y control? Come on!
The thing is with The Walking Dead is what mechanics are there, they don't really contradict what goes on in the story. Whereas if you ask me, the game mechanics of Heavy Rain in some ways contradicted the way the story went. You know, the whole thing.
Spec Ops The Line.
And Spec Ops The Line is a kind of interesting thing, because I haven't played it, so I guess I shouldn't be criticizing it. But the way it seems like to me is people are saying, oh, ignore that really subpar game. You know, it's got a real sort of meaning behind it. And the meaning behind it is you should feel bad. You know, it's not really anything great. It's you play these games, you should feel bad for doing so. And it's just like,
That reminds me of a Duke Hazard, I think it was, or Matt Hazard. And I think, you know, this is something that goes across any medium. If you want to parody something, if you want to have a message, you better make sure that you get the basics and you don't fall for those traps. Because if it's market something by doing it and making it extra generic, that pisses people off more than anything.
Because people are telling me, oh, you should play Spec Ops The Line. I played the demo. I was like, this is the most boring game I've ever played.
Yeah, and I call bullshit on that.
Yeah.
Wait, you absolutely saying? Played more boring games. Don't even give me that.
I probably haven't. There were because I tend to sort of look at a game and go, oh, I don't really want to play that, so I don't touch it. So it was a brown modern military shooter with cover mechanics and Nolan North as the protagonist. You couldn't get any more generic than that. So I was like, no, I'm not going to bother with this. I don't care about the story.
To bring it back a little bit to what like David Cage and Warren Spector were talking about, like it's okay to want these, you know, these different kinds of games that are trying to be more serious or, you know, trying to push different aspects of the medium. But that doesn't mean, and I've said this a lot, because I want more of those games too. And if I ever get the privilege to like make games, like those are the kinds of games that I want to try to make. But that doesn't discredit all the other kinds of games there are, you know, like the great, you know, like the great movies don't discredit the fun summer blockbusters. Like they're just different takes in the same medium. Like that doesn't mean anything. Like,
yeah. And I think,
yeah, I'm going to blow stuff up because it's fun sometimes. And then, you know, but if someone creates a powerful interactive experience, like that's awesome too. Like,
it's not impossible to do both because, you know, right, Django Unchained, it tackles a serious issue in American culture, which is the slavery, right? And it makes it fun sometimes. It's serious at times. It's funny some other times, you know? And
yeah, people shouldn't be so one-minded about this. Like, there's a lot of room for a lot of different, you know, interpretations of stuff. And
yeah, I think the problem is, as far as at least with David Cage and Warren Spector and this whole quote-unquote maturity stuff, is one that they are insulting the other half of the industry.
Yes, that is a problem.
The other thing I think, and I think this is a bigger problem, is like right now there aren't a lot of games that you can point to and say this is a good way for the industry to go, because a lot of them end up being subpar, not that great of an experience. Like there's probably a handful of titles. Really, on the other end of the spectrum, you can name hundreds of titles that are like great games.
Right, it's definitely unbalanced, but at the same time, you know, we're a very, very young industry.
Like, I don't. If Cage and Spector are so sort of anti what's going on in the industry, right? Why don't they start their own company or take their own company that they've already got? In some cases,
they both had their own companies.
Well, Spector doesn't, so.
Yeah, well, not anymore. But
why don't you take to Kickstarter? It's what it's there for, you know. I want to do something that they don't want me to do. I need money. If you want me to do it, give me money.
But David Cage has the perfect setup. I mean, he has Sony and multiplayer that company back in his wet dream projects. I mean, as much as, you know, as enjoyable and as special as Heavy Rain was, I don't think it really should have taken. I mean, that facial technology had to be expensive as well for Sony. Like they're using it for games. And what is that? What is the other one? Not Beyond. Is it Kara?
What?
The one that he showed at E3, that wasn't Beyond Two Souls, but like the
model. Oh, the it was the tech demo?
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, I don't know. Building
the engine
something.
Again, and it's not for a game, so it's like a lot of money that Sony's just thinking.
Well, that was the Beyond engine.
I thought they said that was separate from Beyond.
I think it's a separate thing, but they're built with the same technology.
Theme, like, the tech demo wasn't reflecting their next project,
okay,
which wasn't announced at the time, but it was the technology. It was showing off the technology for that next project.
Okay, but yeah, it's just, you know, it's one of those things. It will be interesting to see how it shakes up. And Warren Spector, we kind of already mentioned, because again, if you're calling for maturity, I love Mickey Mouse, but the last two games you made were Mickey Mouse, and they were literally nostalgia projects because you loved him as a kid. That. Speaking of stuff I loved as a kid and stuff I don't love it as an adult, Activision has nabbed the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles license.
So they can ruin it.
And not ruin it.
Either that or they'll just give it to Moon after they've done Deadpool, and then we'll get a pretty good game out of it.
So we have Michael Bay doing the movie and Activision doing the game. So we're officially going to have to bury this IP.
Well, like I just said, it's not entirely a bad idea. They can do licensed games because High Moon make very good licensed games. Just they often do not.
Well, it's like even High Moon, right? Like the two games that they were given time and freedom to work on. And apply that license in a way that makes sense in the game. I'm talking about the two Cybertron games.
They made a Dark of the Moon game in between the Cybertron games, which is
exactly that's my point. And they like, and those that was still shitty. Like, just because it's a good studio and they're capable of good things to the license, like, you know, they could still be forced into the same pitfalls.
Yeah.
So I guess it remains to be seen. Yeah, if they give a studio a chance to actually do something worthwhile, then we could get a really awesome game.
They're going to give it to Infinity Ward.
See, here's what I expect to happen, and this is what I'm referred with Activision, is that they'll get the license, they'll make one or two games, they won't market it, it won't sell well, they'll sit on the license for a couple of years until somebody else picks it up. Because I think the Ninja Turtles license has been between like four or five different publishers now. It's been between Konami, Ubisoft, Activision, and I want to say there was somebody between Activision and Ubisoft. I could be mistaken.
I don't know. All I know is that I hope they do it. I hope it would be cool if they gave it to High Moon and let them do something and run with it.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say I'd expect that.
Okay, and I also want to say this much because it really hasn't been the case so far. Forfeit online co-op. It pissed me off so much when the first Ninja Turtles game of this generation. Not only wasn't it online, it was a single player title.
Wait, they actually have not done that yet.
They have done the arcade versions of the older titles, but there is no 4-player co-op Ninja Turtles game.
That's like the most obvious thing to do.
You would think.
Hopefully they don't give it to the 007 Legends studio. Or they're gone.
Eurocom doesn't exist anymore. Yeah, they do mobiles, I think.
I actually, Eurocom was a good company. I'm sad to see them leave. Speaking of Activision and giving games to new companies, Skylanders Swap Force was announced this week, and it's being given to, I want to say, is it Neversoft?
That doesn't surprise me, if it has been.
No, it's Vicarious Visions.
There we go. I know it's one of the companies that used to just... because those are the people who took over Tony Hawk Neversoft, right?
Yeah.
They were the ones who did the like ports and stuff, and then
that's kind of
they
MO. And this just like it seems like Skylanders is going on the duty thing where they'll just swap every other year. So I guess Big Huge Toys, I think that's the name of the company, will do Skylanders next year, and then so yeah, Swap Force announced, and this time the gimmick is that you can. The toy comes with an action figure and a base, and you can switch bases with the action figures to get different configurations. I believe there's 16 of them, so that's a combination of, what, 262-something? 256?
Fucking hell.
It's
going to run right into the train that is Disney Infinity.
Yeah, see, that's where I'm curious to see how this does, because Skylanders is a moneymaker for them. But with Disney Infinity coming out, and that's an IP that people know, and it's a gimmick people are accustomed to now, I can see Disney Infinity just eating their lunch to steal an expression.
We've seen this before. It was when they had Guitar Hero, and then Rock Band came out. And it's
Guitar Hero is still so better than Rock Band.
Did it?
It was just a better...
Maybe the first year? Maybe?
No, I think...
Guitar Hero's dead, and there's still Rock Band games.
Rock Band's still kind of niche, but yeah. And Activision also announced that they plan on making Skylanders a 10 to 20 year franchise, which I found
God
funny
help
for
us
two,
all.
I found funny for two reasons, because one, you're putting a lifespan on your franchise. Like, you hope it was like, we hope this is a franchise going forward, and not like, yeah, this is going to take us to the next two generations, and then we're out of here. The other thing is, like you said.
Not even Pokemon has gotten 20 years yet.
They also don't milk out installments every year.
Yeah, that's true.
But I assume Nintendo made Mario back in the 80s, right? Okay, Mario's going to go 10, 20 years and then we'll retire. I think people would want to see Mario retired, but, you know, like, the idea of having a franchise that you kind of just like want to run dry seems, you know, I get it from a business standpoint, you know, franchises pop up and die down quick. You kind of want to run the dry well before it does, but it also kills the brand fast instead of like prolonging its life and, you know, having to go for three, four generations or something like that.
I mean, in my opinion, their entire business model is self-destructive to their IPs, but.
Oh, yeah, it is entirely...
Activision doesn't really care about IPs, though, does it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the... Yeah.
The reason it works for Activision, though, is because they always, always, always find the next awesome cat to latch onto. When Tony Hawk was dying,
what happens when they don't? Like, even Skylanders, Like, this was unexpected. They stumbled across this, and they were like, oh shit, we got a big hit. Let's,
I think they stumbled across a lot of these.
Yeah, but that's, Call of Duty, for a start.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. It's like they stumble on the next big franchise. And, yeah, like you said, when the duck runs out, they're shit out of luck. But until then, it's a terrible business model because they have killed more franchises than anybody. Like, literally, Tony Hawk, dead. Guitar Hero, dead. Call of Duty's on the decline. Skyland is gone. Not Spyro. Spyro was dead, but Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, Crash Bandicoot.
But they'll find something and they'll continue to milk it until it runs dry. They kept on. Like, the fact of the matter is that they have, since Activision has gotten the James Bond movie, license, there has been 3 movies. 2 of them have been critically acclaimed. And they can't make that license work for them in a shooter environment.
So they have and it's not just the fact that they can't make a shooter work in a shooter environment. They have the cornerstone on the genre. They own the genre right now. Everything they do in the genre, everybody copies them.
And yet, there has been 3 abysmal games and 1 decent game.
Yes, I've
never understood the James Bond games being... not really conducive to being shooters.
I think we'll all agree the best one is Everything or Nothing.
Yeah, Everything or Nothing. And I think
Everything or Nothing was great.
And they that was everything. And that didn't work out as well. But yeah, it's
yeah, I've but that's not because of the model. That's because Bloodstone is a bad game.
Yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's like they've tried that, and it never made. I mean, GoldenEye and 64 was a huge hit. That's why they continue. But yeah, I think almost everybody would agree that Bond is not a shooter.
Like,
even,
and like I said, had they done Uncharted with a James Bond skin on it, great, that'd have been fucking fantastic.
There's a lot of games they could have done with. I could, you could do a Splinter Cell type deal where it's kind of like, because Bond doesn't hide, but
I think they're trying to recapture. I mean, like Chad said, they have Call of Duty, and GoldenEye was the first big console shooter, so they're like, well, let's just try to do that again. But it's like, now there's a million console shooters, so even if GoldenEye came out now, it's like, that's not good enough.
Yeah, and I think, it drove me nuts because there's been 3 GoldenEye games. There's 1 GoldenEye movie, and it's not even the best Bond movie. So there's that. Anyhow,
they should sell the IP to Warner Brothers, who should then give it to Rocksteady, and I will be all about that game.
I'm sure Rocksteady's I would be surprised if Rocksteady's not working on a DC Justice League game. I mean, there's probably more Batman, but really DC needs to do stuff with their license beyond a fighting game, which again makes no sense. But and then the final bit of news, I'm sure this will make Jason's happy. The Witcher 3 was announced this week.
Woo!
And there's a 4 coming as well, eventually.
Well, I'm sure at this point every.
Well, they said that it's not Witcher 3 is not going to be into the franchise, so.
Right after they had right. I mean, it's going to be like Mass Effect, right? Like, it'll be the end of Geralt's story, but the world is so rich it could easily sustain further games. I mean, I think people get too caught up sometimes in that. Oh my God, this is the last game, or oh my God, they're going to make games forever. It's like, well, they are telling a story right now. That's going to end. And then there's still this world.
I just wish I say more games. I don't know many games or franchises that have done this, but many non-Naughty Dog franchises have done this. Anyway, games, just give me 3 games. You get a beginning, a middle, and an end, and that's it.
Well, I think Naughty Dog does it for a different reason, just because they're IP. I mean, like, is there really a connecting story? I guess Jack has a story, and so is Uncharted. Uncharted overarching story is so, like, it doesn't really count.
I'd be extremely surprised if we've seen the last Uncharted game.
We haven't.
We're going to Abyss.
Yeah.
but even in the console, right?
Oh, I'm sure they're already working on Uncharted 4. I'm assuming that's how they got the Last of Us, is by Sony saying, you're going to do... I wouldn't be surprised if Uncharted 4 is a title that's revealed in 2 weeks on the PS4 as a near-launch title or launch window. It's been, 2 years since Uncharted 3, so that's enough time. So So yeah, Witcher 3, exciting. Out next year on next-gen consoles.
Prepare to buy whole new graphics cards for it.
Yeah.
I believe,
I need to buy a new graphics card for fucking Witcher 2.
I'm mistaken, but I swear, this is like the first time I remember where we have more games announced for the next-gen systems than we have actual systems. Like, I mean...
Yeah, but again, we've never seen a massive lull like this.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it seems like a lot of people are ready to talk about them. It's just that a lot of Sony and Microsoft aren't ready to reveal them because, like, we have Watch Dogs, we have this, we have Star Wars 1313.
So what's 1313 is this gen?
No.
I'm sure it's cross-gen.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised for it to be both, but the E3 demo we saw last year, there is no way that's running on current gen.
With Watch Dogs and just had it running on PC.
Yeah, I mean, that could be it, but that's what I mean. Like, to see it the way it was shown on a console is going to need new hardware. And that doesn't mean they can't do both. There were plenty of games at the turn of the last generation that were on both.
Yeah.
And they just look better, run better, etc. on the higher gen system, but there's still a version that works on the lower last gen system. I think we'll see the same thing with that. Like, I guarantee Call of Duty will be that way. They're not going to miss the new hardware, but they're not going to give up on their current install base. So we'll have it on both.
I am really curious to see what happens in this fall roll around, because I see that being a huge hurdle for Microsoft and Sony, where I don't see Ubisoft, Activision, or EA, Battlefield 4, Call of Duty 10, Assassin's Creed 4, GTA 5, all hitting on the current gen systems this late in the year.
Well, I don't know. You're making some assumptions there.
I thought Ubisoft announced a new Assassin's Creed, which
is next year.
It's this year. I thought
they said 2014.
It was fiscal.
Fiscal year, which means this fall. Fiscal year.
But
really,
I mean, they didn't announce systems or anything. Like, it could.
I assume it's going to. It's the same thing with Rayman Legends. It's that there's 145 million units out there. Do you miss that out for a potential? I don't know. Let's say 5 million by the end of the year between the two of them.
Right, but I don't think, like, if they could still put it on both current and next gen. And,
I assume they will. That's my point that I just.
And if
don't
you're a
see
gamer that has both, you're gonna get the next gen version anyway.
Yes, and we've had this discussion, and we kind of had this ask.
Yeah.
Is that that's true to a certain portion. There's a huge vocal minority on the internet who want the next new systems because they're going to improve graphics. But these aren't going to be the games that get your average consumer to upgrade. And I'm curious to see what Microsoft and Sony has up their sleeve to get people to upgrade this fall. Like, I'm sure next year they'll have no problem. It's this year that I'm kind of curious about.
Yeah, I mean, next year will be more important in that sense, but it's also going to come down to what's the first party killer app? I mean,
yeah, and just like we've had an entire generation of Sony trying to answer that question, and I don't think they've found an answer yet. And Microsoft just gave us Halo, and they're giving us Gears of War. I mean, yeah, Gears of War next month. So what do they have? Like, it's not going to be Fable. It's not going to be Crackdown 2 has a terrible reputation. Microsoft has really damaged a lot of their IPs this generation.
Rest in peace, Perfect Dark. Rest in peace.
I guess this is.
What if we get a new Perfect Dark? What if that's the answer?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, would you buy a system for Perfect Dark after Zero?
I did it
before. Okay, you would. Would anybody else after Zero?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, if it's a lot like Zero, then that's...
Okay, the better question is, would you buy a game from Rare at this point?
Well, yeah, I wouldn't. I also wouldn't assume that Rare would be making it.
Oh, I'm not saying it, but I mean, you assume it's Rare's IP, so they'd be involved in some fashion. But yeah, between their IP...
I don't think so.
Perfect Dark on your avatar.
I mean, is Rare even Rare anymore? They've probably seen so much turnover between now and the time that they were actually
relevant. I think almost
Microsoft owns them wholeheartedly, so it's not like Rare could put up a stink that another studio has the IP. And I think if Microsoft was deciding to do another Perfect Dark, I don't think Rare is going to do it.
Okay, then the final question is, who? I mean, like, Microsoft doesn't really have that many studios.
I mean, it could be a third-party studio they contract for it. I mean, we heard those rumors for a long time that Gearbox was working on a Halo game. Maybe it wasn't a Halo game.
I understand. I get what you're saying. I just don't think the Perfect Dark IP has that thing anymore. Like, there's no nostalgia for it. And there's no.
I wouldn't argue with that statement. But
I would imagine that Microsoft is probably heavy at work on a new IP. But you know, new IPs aren't, you know, just because it's a new IP doesn't necessarily mean you find success. And I'm kind of curious.
No, but a new IP would be a great thing to sell a new system on. I mean,
oh, yeah, they've got one. I think their Vancouver studio.
But I mean, it depends on. I mean, I assume stuff that we like Rise of the what was it renamed to?
It was Rise. It was Project Kingdoms, and then
Yeah, I assume that's probably going to be a launch title or they had those three games they announced at E3, which we haven't heard. Yeah, we haven't heard about any of those.
We got one of them. Didn't one of them come out and it wasn't very good? I forget what it was called now. It was made by Climax.
I was going to say Racketeer, but Racketeer was... They had three games that they kind of showed,
but didn't show. Cycle.
Yeah.
I don't remember the others.
Yeah, it's...
I thought they were all arcade games, though. So they'll probably be
I don't know if they'll... Like, I mean, it's really hard to say, I guess, but it seems like...
Bloodforged. That's what it was called. Wasn't that one of them?
Oh, no. That might have been, actually. But Ascend.
And then there was the light bike one as well.
Yeah, Loco Tycoon.
It's interesting. I mean, looking at Wikipedia, they have a lot of first-party studios, 343, Good Science, but a lot of them are just kind of doing Kinect things.
Well, what about Bungie's
Nighthead?
That's a Xbox timed exclusive, so that
it
could
seems
be
like that exclusive. Might change, but it also seems like that's not out this year.
I was under the impression that was coming this fall.
I think they said, because they said they're going to reveal it soon, but I believe they said it's not out until 2014. I could be mistaken.
Wasn't it the recent Activision...
the lawsuit or whatever.
No, the call said...
That's the call, yeah.
It was like this week that said that it will probably be...
Was it? Okay, I missed that then.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it's a good thing, but just because, they can have these new IPs, it's like, is that going to be enough? Especially if it continues to be shooters.
If the new IP is compelling enough, and if it displays something unique to the new hardware, then yes, I think that's enough.
That's what I'm really curious to see.
Microsoft will put the marketing money behind it, so it's not like people will know about it just because it's new. It's not.
People will know about it, but I mean, just because Microsoft puts their money behind it doesn't mean it's going to be a success. I mean, do you remember Brutal Legends?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you mean
catch it.
Well, that's the thing, though. That's
by GUIs.
Well, maybe they should try the alternative strategy, which is to not market their first party games at all.
I don't think you can say that. Like I said, Microsoft has really been slack in this past 3 or 4 years as far as the first party goes. I think it would have been a great time for them to try out new IPs, see what works, and see if they could build up an audience for it, but they haven't really done any of that. Like I said, I think they've done more damage to their IPs at the end of this generation than anything. Fable had Heroes and Journey.
And 3 and 2. Don't forget those.
2 was good. I like 2.
I think it's still a viable IP, but I think having Halo come out every year has kind of watered that down as well. Because Halo 3 was treated as an event, and Halo 4 was just a game.
Yeah, and a lot of Halo 4s have turned a lot of people off.
I mean, it seems like every Halo turns people off. People didn't like Halo 3 because it had the weapon drops on the stage.
People Halo 4 Halo... turned me on. That was a beautiful game.
You know, Halo Reach had the loadout to a few
people. Well, yeah, I think 4 has been more divisive than the others.
I mean, that's a possibility.
The more people that are
that
exposed to
kind
a series, the more people you're going to have dislike it. Like, that's just the law of numbers.
Yeah. Look at Final Fantasy.
Especially when you deal with the internet. That's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, just people who are playing the game and enjoying it are still playing the game and enjoying it, and not posting online about how much it sucks.
True.
But yeah, I hope The Witcher 3 comes out on next
year.
Yeah,
usually what
the
you
same
see,
time.
And this is what they call it. This is the Zelda cycle. It's like once Halo. Go on.
Oh no, go for it.
Oh no, I was gonna say it's the same thing that happens in Zelda because right now everybody hates Skyward Sword and Skyward Sword, so it's awful. Same thing people hated Wind Waker when it came out and Twilight Princess, but when the next game came out, like, oh man, I can't believe they're going away from this. I loved it so much.
Yeah.
And that's because that's when the people who like the prior game come out and like, oh man, like Halo Reach, like, oh man, they take away the armor abilities. I love that. I don't like the loadout stuff. It's stupid. It's like Call of Duty. But it happens. People buy it. I mean, it's not like Halo 4 isn't a good selling game. If I'm not mistaken, it's selling ahead of Reach and 3, but it's kind of slowed down since then. So, yeah. anything else you folks want to say?
No.
Well, I mean, I guess since we're talking about this and this is going to be a topic for most of this year, if you had to name one game that would get you on board with Microsoft or Sony's next system, what would that
be? Splitters 4.
Persona 5.
Yeah. I'm with Jason, unfortunately. But it's good. It's a good job it's never going to happen because it means that I won't have to buy any of the consoles next generation.
Okay, so far Chad has the most lucky... answer.
Yep. God, but, I would actually murder someone to have Persona 5 right now.
I was about to say, would Persona 5 not be more of a PS3 title? Because wasn't Persona like 3 or 4 really added to the PlayStation 2 lifespan? Like 2007?
Yeah, they were both fairly late.
So, it's gonna be a 3DS exclusive.
I was about to say, if anything,
then I'll buy a 3DS. Like, whenever I have to purchase to play that game, I'm buying it.
it seems like Atlus is taking the Square Enix route to Nintendo Sony systems, where, like, you know, like how Dragon Quest is kind of Nintendo's thing, and Sony gets the Final Fantasies. I think Nintendo gets the Shin Megami series, and then Sony gets the Persona series. So, I mean, they could change it up, but it just seems to be that split right now, because I think, the last 3 Shin Megami games, or the next one, including Fire Emblem, have been Nintendo exclusive, and then Persona 3, 4, and Portable and Golden and Arena have all been Sony systems. As for me, I honestly don't know what these two can offer me. I'm hoping that they find a way to convince me come November to buy their systems, but I'm really curious to see, because as much as I love Uncharted, a part of the appeal for that has always been how great it looks. And I expect it to look better than next gen, but I don't know how much better it would look than now. Like, not now, but it's a great looking game, and like, I don't see them improving it that much more, where it's like, wow, I can't believe this is not butter. And honestly, the only Microsoft franchise I care about is Halo, and I have like 15 games to play on my 360 for that franchise.
Well, that's why, a new IP would be,
yeah,
could be galvanizing.
It could be. I'm also kind of curious to see where third-party support goes, because if these two come, like right now, they're pretty much identical when it comes to third-party support. So if you come out at the end of the year and it's the same games, like who do you give the toss-up to at the end of the year right now, without knowing anything about either of the two systems?
Well, I mean, you just said it. We don't know anything about either two systems, so
I don't think I
can say anything. Like, before this generation, everyone's like, oh yeah, PS3 is going to steamroll because PS2 did. And we have seen that didn't turn out to be the case at all, so I don't I don't know that we don't even know software, like, let alone hardware. So I don't think we can really say anything. I wouldn't say anything myself, at least.
Okay. Right now I think Microsoft has the momentum in the West. Sony is going to have, I think it's going to be interesting. I think what's really going to change what's really going to be a huge factor, at least early on, will be the Japanese support. Because Western support needs both of them to survive. Japanese support can kind of get by on Sony and the 3DS right now. But I guess Metal Gear, what is the Metal Gear game called?
The Phantom Pain.
But is that wasn't the name they gave? The Phantom Pain isn't a Metal Gear game. Remember, it's a
different game
from Kojima.
Ground Zero.
There we go.
Or the open world one. Yeah.
Yeah, there we go. Ground Zero. Like, if that's an exclusive to PlayStation, I'd see that being a big deal.
I thought they said that was current gen.
Everybody's saying it. I don't think anybody can officially announce anything for next gen yet because the systems aren't announced. Like, you had The Witcher 2.
Just CD Projekt Red.
Yeah. I don't think they care. I think they play by their own rules, especially being that their big market is PC. So they don't care if they piss off Microsoft and Sony.
Well, they didn't even say
what systems.
What systems. They were just like, it's going to be 2014 and we'll be on all systems that are capable of handling it at that time or something like that. So,
it'll be interesting. We have, 2 more weeks to find out, because I think it's officially been announced that this is the PlayStation thing is for the PlayStation 4. So I am excited to see where that goes. New hardware always excites me, especially being that it means new games and new IPs and stuff. Or should be on paper. But we'll be back next week with episode 100. We'll find something special to do for that.
Shot.
Don't encourage Chad. You know he will.
Fuck yeah, like I was gonna anyway though. So it's not really encouraging.
Yeah, but yes, for Chad, Daniel, Jason, and myself, this has been Dual World in episode 99.